Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to the show before. I know it's a long time ago, and I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 093 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on January 7th, 2013, and brought to you by Raptor Picks USA. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Well, Happy New Year. How have you been for all these weeks? I just couldn't get behind the mic. If you looked at the show notes page of my website, you will have found a brief update last week. I'm not dead, although last week I was sicker than I've ever been with a strange kind of brutal cold, courtesy of E. Rex, who had it Christmas week. Delightful, I know. I had a rare 2 weeks off from my teaching schedule, and it was a total wipeout. E. Rex began getting sick maybe Saturday before Christmas, and by the Thursday after, I just couldn't even get out of bed. I was the nurse until then, and then all bets were off. Yes, except for Christmas Eve day, when E-Rex couldn't get out of bed, we kept his treatment appointments. As of today, Monday the 7th, we have 9 left. We're down to single digits. Tomorrow, we're off because they're doing a major software update throughout the treatment office and on the radiation equipment. So barring malfunctions or blizzards, our last day of treatment will be January 21st. We absolutely cannot wait. Thanks again for all your prayers and kind emails of support for both of us. E-Rex did have a very frightening but not unexpected complication from radiation. It's resolved itself, and we honestly just can't wait for this whole thing to be done. However, men, go get yourselves checked out for prostate cancer. Catch it early. It's very treatable. Thanks for your forbearance. Now, let's get back to guitar topics. Thanks, too, for any support you will have or have already contributed to my state of New Jersey in whatever form it has taken, whether financial, material, practical, or whatever. The political machine lumbered forward last week to provide some much-needed aid here. This isn't a political podcast, so I'm not going to go and comment about that other than thanks, but sooner would have been a little bit better. Do you know anyone who attended the 12-12-12 concert? How are my DRs? Well, funny you should ask. They're all fairly fresh except on one guitar. The fairly fresh ones are not in terrible shape, but I'd change them every 2 weeks if I were rolling in DRs. The one that's awaiting a string change will have it this afternoon or this evening, surely before I go to bed tonight. I can't wait because I love, 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 love my DRs. The fresher, the better. If you haven't tried this particular brand of string, you really should. I am not reimbursed for speaking about them. I do this completely volitionally, and they are fabulous strings. I really suggest you give them a try, even if you are well satisfied with the brand you're using. If you have not yet tried them, give them a shot. I mean, all it'll cost you is a few dollars and a string change to see if you like them, and if you don't, no big loss, but if you love them the way I do, you'll consider it a quality of life improvement. Don't forget the Les Paul and Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey, if you'll be in the New York metro area. Even if you have seen the exhibits in his hometown of Waukesha, Wisconsin, or those created at various venues by the Les Paul Foundation. Seely, quiet. This Mahwah that's a very unhappy parakeet who's confined. This Mahwah exhibit is truly extensive in its breadth. This is just a little jewel of an experience waiting for you to discover it. Visitors are welcome Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 1 to 5. While we're on the topic of Les Paul, don't overlook the Lou Paolo and the Les Paul Trio and Friends extraordinary homage to Les Paul called Thank You, Les. It's available as a digital download. You can purchase real CDs. There are videos that go with this and DVDs. There's a collector box set. You should really look into it. It's fabulous and an excellent, excellent homage to someone who has affected 20th as well as 21st century music. After a brief word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks, we'll move on to this week's Student Spotlight. Here are four descriptions of genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks with which I wholeheartedly agree. Tools for the creative. From the moment you pick up Raptor R-Series pick, it's obvious a great deal of thought has gone into its design, and from the second you touch a string, you can both feel and hear a difference between a Raptor and all the other picks you've tried. Beautiful and tactile. Genuine R-Series Raptors have three carefully sculpted picking tips. They've been created using the same sophisticated design and modeling techniques employed to produce Formula One racing cars, and the result of this design effort means they've been able to take the humble pick to a completely new level of performance. Absolutely amazing! Each pick tip forms complex curves designed to glide effortlessly over your guitar strings. Raptors produce clean tones with almost imperceptible attack that range from that of the brightest, thinnest pick through to the warm, rich tones normally associated with much thicker picks. The pursuit of excellence, that's my favorite. All genuine R-Series Raptor picks are subject to very strict quality control procedures. Each R-Series plectrum is precision molded from high-grade acrylic, then individually printed and inspected to ensure it meets their high standards prior to leaving the UK-based factory. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with the purchase of four or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. In the warm glow of the student spotlight, which has been dim for such a long time, this first student spotlight of the new year are Aviv, Bridget, and Danielle. After some time off for 2 weeks, they have come back strong and playing well. You go, ladies. Each of you are doing excellently. I have to also take this time to say that although he wasn't in the student spotlight this week, Arno gets a special mention for more cuteness in one house than anywhere on the planet. When I saw him last week, I also had a first look at the 8-week-old sister pug puppies, Rosie the black one and Bella the fawn one. They have a permanent place in the spotlight for cuteness. Not that all the other dogs I see each week, including Max and Ruby the Yorkies, Holly the Golden, Cody the Golden, Kieran the Shiba Inu, and Claire's Maltese, who I will begin seeing tomorrow, aren't cute. But pug puppies? Come on! I mean, they're just adorable. Students, Hanukkah, Christmas, and the New Year have come and gone. Now it's time to take your 2013 playing mojo and close in on excellence. Put in the focused time and you will accomplish it. Great work, ladies. I want to see more people in the spotlight now that all the craziness of all the November through January holidays are done. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question was from one of my students. We were playing through the chord progression of the A Team. No, not the theme song from the old TV show, which some of my students thought the A Team was when they saw it in my stash of music. not that one, rather the Ed Sheeran A-team. Not too far into it, there's a C add 9 chord. So, of course, I posed the question to my student, why don't they just call it a C9 chord? To which my student answered, yeah, why don't they just call it a C9 chord? Okay, before I explain the answer, I want to suggest that what I'm about to explain is always true. However, not every music publisher has a grasp of the nuances of music theory, or even the rudiments of it for that matter. So you may see this C add 9 called C9 incorrectly, or called C add D, or called C2, or called C sus 2, which could be correct or incorrect nomenclature depending upon what chord precedes it, and so on. And if you downloaded free tabs, it may have yet even some other name or two. The chord that is required in the A team consists of this. There's an open E first string, a D on the B string, an open G, an E on the D string, and a C on the A string. Although the music calls for a closed sixth string E, since there's already an E in the chord, it could technically be played. The chord immediately before it is an E minor 7, not with an open D, but with a D on the B string. For my taste, I would probably call this what's being called in the music a C add 9. I would call it a C suspended 2. It just makes more musical sense to me, but it isn't utterly incorrect to call it a C add 9. The general rule of chord nomenclature, or at least correct chord nomenclature, is to assign a number and sometimes a quality to any note in the chord that isn't the first, third, or fifth note of the scale from which the chord derives. The only valid exception to that is in the case of what's called a 5 chord or a power chord. In that case, the only tones you're playing, whether it's a 2-string or 3-string version, is the 1, whatever the name of the power chord is, and it's 5. Aside from that, any interloper pitches have to be described by the number they occupy in the scale, or the modified number they occupy in the scale, like flat or sharp. I should say this at this time for anybody who's an old guitar player. 40 years ago, our current C add 9 chord that's in question right now would have probably been called a C add 9 and nothing else, because the notes of the chords were only described in their nomenclature by successive thirds. What I mean by that is that you had something, you'd have a regular chord, then you could have a 7, you could have a 9, an 11, or a 13. 15 gets you back to 1, so you wouldn't have a 15. More currently, 2s and 4s that we have now were not common, and it was unusual to see something called C6, but you did see A minor 7 instead. Now, the reason I'm saying this, in case you're not so accustomed to the term C6 or A minor 7, is that a C6 chord consists of a C, an E, a G, 1-3-5, and an A, which is a 6. An A minor 7 consists of A, C, E, there's 1-3-5, and G, which is a half step lowered 7. It's the same notes, they're just jumbled depending on what you consider the bass note to be. Now here's the thing with these 9 chords that are correctly named. If a chord is called something 9, it has the further theoretical requirement of having to have the half step lowered 7 in that chord as well. They don't call it a 7-9, they call it a 9, but when a chord is called 9, it's understood that the half step lowered 7, or the 7 of the dominant 7 chord, is already in there. So one of the ways you can play a C9 chord is with a third finger, 3-string bar at the 3rd fret to cover G, D, and B flat from the 1st to the 3rd strings, a first finger on E, and a second finger on the C on the A string. It's a beautiful chord. Let me grab a guitar. So a a C9 chord sounds like this. You know, there's a lot of tension. It's totally delicious to my ears. I just love 9 chords. So, right? Now, a C add 9 chord doesn't have the B flat. No tension. It's a nice airy chord. But it's got that sound of those, what some people call suspended chords. You know, 2s and 4s all have that sound. Now, since the chord immediately before it is E minor 7, and that D remains, you almost can't hear the difference. The only difference between this E minor 7 chord and the C add 9 is that the B on the A string moves to a C. That's really the only notational difference. Very subtle. That's another reason why I would call this chord a C suspended 2. So realize when you see the names of guitar chords that there's a huge difference between the sound of a 9 and the sound of an add 9. Don't forget, if the half step lower to 7 is in the chord, it creates tension. That's the regular 9. And that is the same half step lowered 7 that you find in a dominant 7 chord. If you have a question that you'd like me to address on the podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note, there's no tutor in the email address. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Now, let's move on to this week's news. In the news this week is just a little 12-12-12 concert update. I know I made mention of it in the intro. I didn't go to the concert. The tickets were expensive, and although Madison Square Garden is in very reasonable trip for me, being in a bedroom community of New York City, the tickets were too much. It was definitely a scalper's bonanza. What I heard from people who did attend is they paid way over the, I think tickets were $250. They were paying astronomical prices. Actually, I had to teach that night. It was a Wednesday, and on Wednesday, I don't ordinarily finish teaching until at least 10:30 or later. Each home I taught in had it on TV or on a computer, so I was able to see little bits of it, and here in the New York metro area, I don't know about the rest of the country, it was on every single radio station. So I caught a lot of it driving around to students, and I had a few glimpses of it as I was walking in and leaving various students' houses. From what I hear, music fans had mixed reaction to the rock star-studded benefit. The event to relieve the Hurricane Sandy victims sold out. And that was great. And it was broadcast to nearly 2 billion people around the world. That's billion with a B. It's amazing. It sported an all-star lineup that spanned multiple generations, which was, I guess that was a good thing. I don't know. The storm came with a price tag of more than $71 billion for New York and New Jersey. So how much did the 12-12-12 concert raise? The Robin Hood Fund, the poverty-fighting organization collecting the proceeds, estimated $30 million from ticket sales alone before the concert. Their most recent calculation is that the historic 12-12-12 concert to benefit the victims of Hurricane Sandy was the largest concert event to ever hit the stage at Madison Square Garden, raising over $50 million. And additional proceeds are still coming in. Thanks to the generosity of concert organizers, sponsors, and the Robin Hood's board, every single penny from ticket purchases and donations will go to organizations serving the victims of Hurricane Sandy through the Robin Hood Relief Fund. So that's really good. I'm happy because as you may have read in my last show notes, or maybe it was even my last actual recorded show, that just before the 12-12-12 concert, someone I know who's very big on Wall Street and who is very familiar with the Robin Hood Fund or Foundation said that one of its higher-ups is having a very serious legal problem and may be in jail very soon. So, you know, it's that whole Wall Street gang. They have a lot of temptation, and it seems like most of them don't overcome it. But anyway, great job if the money all gets to the victims or to organizations that are serving the victims and not taking too big a slice for their own personal expenses. You know, these $60 lunches from nonprofits just won't do here. There's a lot of desperate need, and it's going to go on for, I don't know, probably 10 years in this state. So thank you if you've contributed. Thank you, Robin Hood Fund. And if you have not yet made a contribution and you are so moved to help people who have just been devastated, it would be a great thing for you to do. No pressure here. I'm not trying to put any guilt on you. But on behalf of everyone, I thank all the concert attendees and anyone who's contributed. Now, let's move along to this week's Take Notes segment. My Take Note topic this week is a bit unconventional. It's CRSO, or Can't Resist Shiny Objects. This I had hoped to be a segment for pre-New Year's Eve. I just felt, you know, very festive, although I was thinking I'd be feeling very festive. I was pretty down and sick, so didn't really matter. Although I don't have one, there is a part of me that just loves a sparkly guitar. Our good friends at Gresh have a few I'd like to bring to your attention, in case you have the same affinity for gleam and glitter that I do. And this is not reserved to just chick guitar players. There are some men who can put on bling with the best of them. So if you're a glitterphile, I'm going to mention the Jet models that have eye-popping sparkle. Based on the classic late 50s Silver Jet, today's Silver Jet and Sparkle Jet feature semi-hollow bound mahogany bodies with arch laminated maple tops, one-piece mahogany neck with bound ebony fingerboard and bound headstock, dual high-sensitive Filtertron pickups, space control bridge, and Bigsby B3C vibrato tailpieces. They are available in an array of sparkle and pearl tops. Now, here's where it could get just a bit confusing. There's a Silver Jet that carries an MSR of over $3,300. Then there's the slightly different model called a Sparkle Jet, which comes in silver, gold, and green sparkle. And a non-sparkle but gorgeous pearl blue. They have MSRs around $2,900. Of course, you will find these discounted from those prices at the big chain guitar stores, and I would think even slightly discounted from those prices at private guitar shops. All of them are arch tops, and what other guitar could carry off the glittery sparkliness? The sheer presence of these beauties seem to lend a little bit of sophistication and gravitas to what otherwise would look a bit over the top on any guitar. Photos of these beautiful instruments can be found on the show notes page. As of today, Gresh did not have a photo available of the silver sparkle, but you can compare the images of the gold or green sparkle to the silver jet, and you can see some design differences. It's safe to assume that the silver sparkle will look just like the green and gold ones, but with the silver jet's color. They are beauties. They're just gorgeous guitars. The guitars that live with me are extremely sedate. I have to say, my alter ego is jonesing for one of these. Check out their specs at the Gresh links that I'll post in the show notes. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 093. I have to say it feels good getting back behind the microphone. The show's a little shorter, I think, than usual, but we're getting there. Following a short word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks USA, we'll move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Once in a great while, something comes along that's literally revolutionary. The Raptor R-Series guitar pick is just such a creation. It affords its user a sublime quartet of sounds which can be summoned with the mere rotation of the brilliantly designed Raptor pick. Not only is it a beautifully executed, ingenious idea, but the first experience of playing with it is almost impossible to describe because it's so different from anything you've ever employed. Get past the unusual feel of the Raptor guitar pick, and the door to faster, cleaner, and more creative playing swings wide open. Your grip will be sure, your attack will be silent, your projection will be enhanced. Add to that the technology that enables the pick to glide over your strings rather than bluntly striking them, and the genuine Raptor R-Series pick stands alone as an asset to every guitarist who uses one. Seasoned pro, this pick will allow for more subtle differences of expression because of the variety of timbres it produces. Intermediate recreational guitarist, improve your sound by upgrading your pick. Rank beginner, prime your creativity right from the outset. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with the purchase of four or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. For the most part, I've got my voice back after having been sick. Yay! I know it sounded a little gravelly today, but not too bad. We've got another 9 treatments for E-Rex. I will try to record next week and remain on schedule, but until we're done with those radiation treatments, anything could happen. So just bear with me a few more weeks. I'm so sorry about all the delay and weeks of not podcasting. It's a lot of burden. I'm still not sure I've got the most efficient manner of show note distribution, but I'll resume looking into it as soon as my time and schedule and life finally return to normal, which I hope will be before the end of the month. Congrats, Aviv, Bridget, and Danielle. Brava, brava, and brava. The difference between a 9 chord and an add 9 chord is that the 9 chord contains the half step lowered 7 and the 9 does not. The 12-12-12 concert promoters, the Robin Hood Fund, reports over $50 million being raised for Hurricane Sandy relief. The residents of New Jersey and New York are grateful to them and to you if you have done anything to help relieve the abyss of distress that so many survivors are living with day in and day out, still. How do you get your bling on? Maybe one of the Gresh jets I've mentioned today will float your boat. Don't forget the Les Paul in Mawa exhibit at the Mawa Museum. You should check it out. It's open for visitors on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 1 to 5. You simply must go. Keep your guitar humidified. If there's less than 40% humidity in its environment, it needs moisture. I'll have new DRs on one of my axes by the time I record next week. I'm just absolutely giddy at the thought. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for not giving up on this podcast and joining me for episode 093 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which is GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I have been off the social media for several weeks, being sick and holidays and all that, but I plan to be resuming this week. I tweet to update anyone following me and retweet what I think is interesting. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, the Hamlet of Ramapo, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Tuxedo Park, Upper Saddle River, Viola, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. This week is going to be Clary's first guitar lesson. I'm really looking forward to that. Whether you are a beginner guitarist, a gigging pro, or at any level in between, a genuine Raptor guitar pick will catapult your playing forward. Visit RaptorPicksUSA.com to order yours today. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, which I hope will be next week, I am your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.